you. We've got a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot of work to do. Forget about your women and that water can. Today you're working for the man. Deadline to meet. I'm gonna see you make it on time. Oh, don't relax. I want elbows and backs. I wanna see everybody from behind. 'Cause you're working for the man. You're working for the man. You gotta make him a man. You're working for the man. Picking him up and I'm laying him down. I believe he's gonna work me into the ground. I pull to the left, I heave to the right. I ought to kill him, but it wouldn't be right. 'Cause I'm working for the man. I'm working for the man.
Hi, this is Paul Smart, and it's the January edition of The Work Show. We checked in with two people who are experts in the field of labor in Columbia and Greene counties. To begin with, we stopped in to talk to M.A. Wiltsey at Columbia Greene Workforce, located at the Community College campus in Greenport.
Well, actually, 2013 was probably the year that we started seeing recovery. You know, they said the recession ended, I don't know how many years ago, but in terms of employment, I would say 2013 was an improvement over since 2009. It's been the best year in the sense that we've had less people come in for services, so there's been less people laid off in the past year. And it seems that the number of people finding employment has also increased. So we hear more positive stories than we have in the last 4 years, and we have definitely seen a decrease in the number of people coming in and asking for our services. Both are good signs.
And is it that the companies that were here are hiring again, or are there new companies coming in, or what's behind this?
I think the majority is companies that have already been established have increased their hiring and have perhaps stopped putting off adding staff back from when they were at their lowest level. I mean, there are a few new small businesses, but there's nothing like there's one big employer that has come in and rescued the day or anything like that. It's a bunch of small, medium-sized companies improving.
Over the past 2 years, we've spoken quite a few times about the shift towards STEM hiring. Is that, was that as obvious this past year, or if it's
older? You know, to be honest, I don't have the breakdown. I mean, one of the things that we talk about in terms of STEM is that we know that those are going to be the fields that are growing on a regional basis. And we also have a special grant to work with getting people prepared for science, technology, engineering, and math jobs. I think even if you wouldn't necessarily consider any job a real science-based job or one that requires math, all the jobs that are out there are going to require some of it. Mm-hmm. So even if it's not technically an engineering job, let's say, any job in manufacturing is going to require math skills, blueprint reading, measuring skills that are strong. Even in office positions with computers and the programming that are being used, an understanding of all that technology is becoming more and more important.
Have you been in on the discussions regarding Startup New York and the use of the SUNY campuses as a...
Just on the peripheral of it, and you know, whether or not that's going to happen and how much that will impact here, I'm unclear.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting startup businesses here that would necessarily use some of the programs that Columbia Green Community College offers is less obvious than, let's say, a place like Hudson Valley Community College that has a lot of manufacturing-type jobs or things along those lines. I mean, you could do a healthcare center or an automotive center, but here, computer centers. But I think it's less obvious here. And I also think that there are, I want to be politically correct here, I mean, it's for the counties that don't have a community college, this program is not something that they're real happy with.
Yeah.
And Greene County falls into that situation.
Yeah, is there any talk of doing satellites over into Greene, or is that just out of your purview at this point?
Well, I'm not sure how it's out of my purview, and I'm not sure how much a satellite would actually impact that economic development program that the governor is touting to bring business in toward where community colleges are.
There's been lots of talk over the past 2 years as well about agriculture as a mover here in Columbia County. Does that get reflected in the employment area at all?
It does with some of the companies, and I wish I could be more accurate about their names, but there's a couple of farm-to-food projects around here that have increased their employment in terms of making cheese and that kind of thing. So, yes, we've seen some growth there.
Is it something that can grow, that can really impact employment, or is it a different sector of the economy?
I think farming truly isn't necessarily the where the employment is, and that isn't necessarily the best jobs, but the manufacturing of food, the preparation of a product into this final form, that can be.
Uh-huh.
So there are skills that are needed in there besides just picking apples or, you know, farming that can lead to decent jobs.
Do you work with the funding entities that help with job creation? I know a lot of them have, a lot of the funding out there is tied to job creation.
We do, in the sense that companies that get those kinds of grants have to list any of their job openings here, mm-hmm. and that we try to fill them. But not in the sense of getting, putting those grants together where businesses will get a grant promising that they will increase their employment. What we get is the back end of that is, okay, we've gotten this money, we've done the upgrade that we need, and now we need employees, so they come here to get them.
And how is the whole the state jobs site, that portal, has that been working well?
I believe so. I mean, sometimes it has these little glitches in the sense that you'll put in jobs within 25 miles and you get one that's, 500 miles away. But uh-huh. other than that, it's working well, and it's populated pretty well.
And are
with job openings and with the job seekers.
How close do people come when they're looking for work? How close to their ideal do they end up finding things, or how far afield do they have to reach?
The market is constantly changing. People have to continue to upgrade or change their skills or use their transferable skills. I don't think there's a lot that our markets are, the employers are so small that every job is going to be different. So I can't say that people come in and say, I want to do exactly this, and they go out and get a job that's exactly that. They'll get jobs that are use some of the skills that they've had and not use some of the skills that they want to use, but will have to change and increase learn on the job.
Has there been any effect from the shrinking of government jobs? It's been talked about it a lot. I mean, from teaching to, you know, I know it's a large...
Yeah, it's, you know, it's mainly education that we've seen. And other things are fairly small. The layoffs aren't necessarily there as much as you think. I think what happens is that with a lot of government jobs is it's done through attrition and retirement. So they don't refill, but they try to manage, as opposed to doing major layoffs, they try to manage it through retirements. That's what I've seen. But education definitely has had a hit over the last couple of years. It seems to be leveling out.
Yeah. With the education jobs, I mean, does that leave people kind of over qualified for things, or...?
They're highly skilled, educated people that were teachers, and figuring out what they're going to do different can take some time and take some effort. Maybe some people end up in jobs that are beneath their skills, and maybe they have to go into something that changes. I don't have real specific ideas on what people have ended up with.
Do you all work with people, I mean, who are in transition, you know, and pulling from savings and other means, et cetera? How do you all work with people about kind of that period of that in-between period? And, you know, does that money end up getting lost? Does it just, you know, what happens?
No, you're asking me questions that I don't really know the answer to. I will tell you that unemployment has lasted a long time. I'm sure people sometimes have to go into their savings, and sometimes people are forced to take jobs that perhaps they're not real happy with, where the income is not what they want it to be because their unemployment is running out or because they can't survive on that. But there's probably a six-month window before people actually end up starting to impact their their savings. Too much.
How did the shutdown affect you?
While the shutdown was going on, we did not have enough funds to assist people in going back to school. So some people were put on temporary hold for starting a new education program. Other than that, we were lucky and we didn't have any impact. If it had lasted longer, we would have. The way it works for us is our money comes on July 1st, we get a quarter of our money for the year. Our year starts July 1st to June 30th. So when the government shut down in on October 1st, we had money that we still had available from 2012, plus we had the first quarter of our money for the year. So we were running tight, but we were able to keep going. If it had continued into now, we would have been shut down.
Uh-huh.
There were areas in the state that didn't have as much funds available to carry in that did have to lay off staff and close their doors. And that was mainly the larger cities like Rochester and Buffalo, I believe, both had to temporarily close their doors.
You know, has there been a shrinking of the amount of public help or has it grown? Or how's that? You know, there's a lot of focus on that discussion. But
yeah, for us, it's all based on formula.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening at the federal level in terms of the actual amount won't necessarily translate specifically back down to us as that same amount. Like, say there's a 5% cut at the federal level. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to face a 5% cut. In fact, in some years, there have been increases at the federal level, and we've faced a local cut. So it's really hard to say how it played out this year. And our formula funds are based on how well or poorly the economy is doing locally. This year, even with the sequester where they took 5% off the top, our funding was higher than it was last year. So it's always a year behind of where you needed to be.
And is it all federal that you work with federal and state?
The majority of our money is federal. We have certain little pockets of special projects that is state money. For example, our summer youth employment program is funded through the state.
Mm-hmm.
We have a special grant through the Department of the Office of Temporary Disability Assistance that helps with training people. It's federal money, but it comes from the state. It's a state grant.
What's your sense for 2014?
Well, you know, what happens in Washington will play out on that. I mean, if the sequester goes into effect, the additional sequester, it's going to be another 5% over the 5% loss we've had. That'll be 10%. That'll be a big impact based on how the formula works out, and I won't know that until March or April. They keep talking about reauthorizing our law and making changes to it. Hopefully those changes will be for the better. But Congress hasn't been doing much of changing anybody's laws or doing any. I just saw a report where there's been the least laws passed by Congress this year than ever in the history of the world, so a history of our country. So I don't know.
What are the laws that affect you then? What's
the workforce. The main law that affects us is called the Workforce Investment Act of 1998. It was supposed to be reauthorized. It's a government term. In 2005, and it hasn't been. So it might have been even earlier than that. But so it's been one of those laws that Congress hasn't paid attention to. They can't come to an agreement on it at all. There are certain things that one party wants that the other party is refusing to give them.
And that law goes back, I mean, before 1998. Where does that start?
It was a different law. It was a Job Training Partnership Act law. And that was in effect from 1983 until 1998.
Uh-huh.
And before that, it was the Comprehensive Employment and Training Administration Act, CETA.
CETA. And that was from the Carter, right?
That was earlier than that. That was all the 70s.
Okay.
And then became the Job Training Partnership Act in the early 80s.
And so that's where the big discussion is how involved we are in job training, or the government should be, or...
I think, there's always how much of an investment the federal government should be making in education and training. And it has dramatically gone down since the 70s.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the amount of money that we had in the 1970s was triple, quadruple how much we have now.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the 70s, what the money was basically used for, it wasn't so much training as it was used for public service employment. So that instead of people being on unemployment for a long periods of time, like they're facing now, they put them to work in government nonprofit agencies. When this recession came around, there wasn't any talk about doing that again. So now people have long periods of being out of work, which unfortunately has a major impact on them being able to get back into work.
Uh-huh.
The statistics on people who have been out of the workforce for more than 6 months and finding a new job is horrendous compared to people who have been unemployed for 0 to 6 months. Such a dramatic difference. Employers take it that there's something wrong with people if they're out of work for more than 6 months, when actually, no matter how much you talk to them about it, there was something wrong with the economy, which is why people were out of work for more than 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But getting that mindset change for business is hard.
Did that exist after after the Great Depression too? That same kind of sense of people being.
Fortunately, I wasn't alive back then, so yeah. I don't know the answer. I think, you know, that whole scenario was different. It was because
the war
shifted everything. Everybody went to work. Everybody was needed either in the service or in the factories. So there was it really shifted, I think.
Like a reset that occurred. So.
Yep. And everybody's pulling together for one common goal,
mm-hmm.
where you don't see that now. Yeah.
And, you know, is your sense that, we've come through it and we'll settle out at this point, or does it just still feels tentative, or?
Well, in terms of this recovery, job growth has been the slowest since they've taken records of coming out of recession and when job growth starts again. So, in that sense, I think it's still tentative. The only thing I can tell you is that last year, 2013 was a lot better than 2010, 2011, and 2012, mm-hmm. in terms of the number of people getting laid off and the number of people being able to find new jobs. What has happened in this country in terms of employment is that a lot of those jobs that existed where you could have less than a college degree and make a middle class income have left. Mm-hmm. So people are, and that has impacted who's got money and who doesn't. So when there's discussion about raising the minimum wage, I think part of that is how do we, with the jobs that still exist in this country, the service occupations and then the high-level technical and then the middle-skill jobs that are science, technology, and engineering-based, that there might be difficulty finding people to fill those jobs. There's, like, those three things. Jobs that don't pay enough to survive on, those middle-skill jobs that are all based on science and math that you can still make a decent living at without a four-year college degree or more, and then those higher-level jobs. And those three kind of major pockets. And how we get people into those middle-skill jobs with science, technology, and engineering is really based on the education system and how that has to be impacted so that we're making enough people who have those skills and can learn those skills. And then there are the people in jobs that used to be for teenagers. Mm-hmm. That were entry level, you get in there and then you learn some basic work skills and then you're still in school or you get one of those good jobs. And now people are stuck. Those are the jobs that exist for some of them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can't live on New York State's higher than the federal minimum wage and it's going to be higher still. It's going to be at $8 but people who are surviving on $8 an hour can still be eligible for a lot of benefits.
Is there a level where the world of private employers has shifted both from being able to move jobs overseas or move employment, but also
some of those jobs are coming back.
Yeah,
you know, but again, there are jobs that require more skills than just being in a factory and moving a button here to a button there or something like that. So their jobs are coming back, but again, those jobs require science and math skills.
Was there a shift in the way we thought about employment or the way, it seemed at a certain point employment was part of the equation of industry, and then as things got technologically more advanced, that seemed to drop out to a certain extent.
Well, you didn't need as many people to do things, but you need because the machines and the robots could do it for you and better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's definitely a major shift. I personally don't think that business has ever been in the business of providing people employment. Uh-huh. Business is in the business of making a product and making a profit. Mm-hmm. And if you needed people to do that, then they would do that. They would hire people. But I don't think business, government has always been in the business of trying to get business to hire people. Uh-huh. But that's never been business's goal. Their goal is never to provide employment to people. Their goal is to make a profit and make a product.
So then when you remove or when the discussion centers on whether government should even have that role, then there's no form of advocacy for employment.
And that's why government stays in that business, I think, uh-huh. or has that role. That's why a lot of economic development is targeted toward providing employment. Mm-hmm. That's where business cares about it, is that if they want cuts in their taxes or they want a loan, then they might care about providing employment.
Where do you see the nature of employment and business kind of headed here? We were talking about, over the last few years, there was talk about what was going on with global foundries and around the capital region kind of reaching down here some. Is that still seem possible, or is it a different...
One of the things I have heard lately is that there has been some surprise about the supply chain not increasing. Businesses that supply services to global foundries and such not increasing as much as they expected around here. So now what I've been hearing and is if that next chip plant gets built up there, then the supply chain people will come in. I don't know if they'll be right about that either because they thought they were going to come for the first one.
Mm-hmm. Has there been an effect from the the changes in Hudson and starting to see in Catskill, et cetera, where people moving up from a particular kind of Brooklyn from the metro area and bringing their little businesses, is that having any effect on the employment levels?
I haven't really seen that. I think when those businesses come, when those people move up, they're bringing their own skills and their own talents. They're not necessarily looking to create a company that they're going to hire a bunch of people to work. They're artists and they're, some might be one or two people that they need to help assistant.
Lastly, is there, we've touched on this before, do you notice a seasonal shift?
There's always a seasonal shift in this economy in mm-hmm. these two counties because of the seasons. And some people get laid off for the wintertime, construction, and other people get hired.
And then I'll want to die. So I've got to get back on my feet and prove to myself I'm a man. I hope that the bad times have gone. It's been rough, but I think that I've won. Now I'm happy, and I'll never be that way again. No, I'll never be that way again. Snow's gone, spring's here. Won't happen twice. I've seen my way clear. Everyone's paid, got no one to fear. Been a hard, hard year. Been a hard, hard
We also stopped in to talk to Florence Ohl at Community Action of Greene County, based in Catskill. She had a lot to say. It was a deep conversation.
Community Action is a national network. There's over 1,000 Community Action agencies in the country. This year, 2014, is a big year. It's the 50th anniversary because they came out of President Johnson's Economic Opportunity Act of 1964. In Greene County, we were incorporated in 1967. But there will be a lot of attention brought to community actions because it is the 50th anniversary. And basically, it's in response to the war on poverty. We're here to recognize the needs in the community and try to address those needs as best we can. Each community action agency is governed by a tripartite board of directors, in that equal representation is from the community, from the publicly elected sector, the private sector, and the low-income sector, so that you have all different viewpoints identifying the issues in the community and addressing those needs. So Community Action of Greene County is going to look very different from a community action agency in Brooklyn or maybe a community action agency in Colorado, because the needs of the communities vary, whether you're urban, you're rural. So that's what community actions are. We're service agencies. We provide direct service. We advocate for people in need. We work with community partners and try to change legislation and educate people about what the issues are in the community, because there is a great, I think, misunderstanding right now about who the people are accessing services and what opportunities exist for those people that are in poverty right now. If I hear one more reference to people with iPhones, you know, people on welfare, they're there for food pantry, but they pull out their iPhone. If people's housing is precarious and they're moving quite often, they won't have a landline. They'll have a cell phone. It might be provided by the government, because you need an address to get food stamps or services or register to vote or any of those things. And my iPhone cost me 99 cents, and that's why I have one, because it was the cheapest because it was last year's model. So poverty looks very different here than it does in other countries. We're not a third world country, but people... Minimum wage is not enough to feed a family on. In a community like ours, we lack the supports for employment. Our county is so wide. We have the mountaintop areas. We have the river towns. We have the valley towns. There's no real public transportation system that people can access for employment. It's not like in some communities where all the industry is in one part of town and all the low-income housing is on another. People are scattered all over the county, and so are the job opportunities, or they have to leave the county for those job opportunities. And if you're not a skilled worker or don't have an education, how do you pay rent, which the rents are not in line with what people are making right now? How do you afford a vehicle? How do you feed your family? Mm-hmm. There's just a disconnect. We've worked with M.A. Wiltsey and the Workforce New York office. We've had money, different grants at different times that would pay for people to receive certifications, take courses that would end in a certification. And we had people starting the program meeting income eligibility, which was 125% of poverty, and they would end the program with either their CDL or an LPN and make $12, $13, $14 an hour. So we have to invest in people. If we want to change the situation, we have to give the people the skills they need to find meaningful employment, and then we need to provide the supports in order for them to get on their feet. A lot of times with social services, you know, you get a job and you start to progress, but then they cut your benefits and then your wage isn't enough to support. So it's two steps forward, three steps back. It's a tough situation. And there are no easy answers, but we really have to look at the whole situation and as a community come together.
Are you working with a lot of county agencies?
We do. We partner with many of them. I mean, I'm on the board for like the Department for Aging Advisory Council. I'm on the Workforce Investment Board, the Columbia Green Housing Coalition, which is working to eliminate homelessness in the two counties. We work closely with DSS, very closely. We refer back and forth, and we do, but there's still a misunderstanding about who the people are, what the issues are, and how to best address them. The more I'm here and the more I hear people's stories and listen to people, people get frustrated. There are certain people that it's generational poverty and that's all they know, and maybe they won't. For some people, maybe you won't make an impact or real change, But then you have those children in the household, and we have to try to do something. We can't just throw our hands up and, well, that's the end of it, and write these people off. They're children, and we can make a difference, you know. People need encouragement, and they need the skills, and then I think we can make change. We have to have opportunities for them for employment. We opened our thrift store a little over a year ago, and that's a job training site for people who are on social services. And there's some great workers up there, and they're not getting paid to do it. They are, in that they are receiving social services, and most people don't know that if someone is receiving services, they are mandated to do so many hours a week of CWEP, Community Work Experience Program. And so we have volunteers identified through social services. They come here and they volunteer in the store. And they're great. And then we lose them because they get jobs, which is great, which is what they need to do. We also right now have somebody working with them on their resume building skills, and what do employers look for, how do you dress on a job, how do you problem solve, and actually prepare for the National Work Readiness Credential, which is offered, the test is offered over at the college. So we're working, we know there are people that don't have the skills, and we're working to provide
and
those
skills.
Do you
work across counties at all? Do you have counterparts, say, in Columbia or Ulster?
We do. There's a community action in Ulster County. Columbia Opportunities is community action agency for Columbia County. And it depends on the grant. We have domestic violence services in both Columbia and Greene counties. Through that program, we operate the only two shelters in either county. The only two homeless shelters, and then our Wheels for Work auto loan program serves both counties. But other than that, we're primarily a Greene County agency.
And I'm going to come back to the Wheels for Work, but what about something like Family, which now has a slight presence here?
Of Woodstock?
Yeah. Do you work with them? Are they just an outside agency?
We don't really work. We refer back and forth, and like with RUPCO now is also in Greene County. They have the HUD Housing Choice Voucher Program or Section 8 Program in Greene County now. But we do. It's a very small county. We also, one of our staff from our DV program now is actually the leading up the Greene County Networking Program, which is once a month all service providers come together and talk about the needs in the community, what services they may have that are new or changing, and just so referrals are made and appropriate referrals are made and people are aware of what services exist in the community.
Well, how would you characterize the needs in Greene right now?
Great.
Greene County as opposed to Columbia County, say, and how much of it has changed in recent years and how much of it's kind of longer term?
Well, right now, I can say in recent years, I want to say it was 2007 or 8, if you look back at the number of families, unduplicated households a month we served with food pantry, it was 35 to 40. Now we're upwards of 200. It's huge, the need, since the recession, families not able to put enough food on their table. And we also work with all the other food pantries in the community. When there was federal dollars coming into the county for food, Community Action would be the conduit and disperse them through the other pantries, including in Ashland, Athens, Greenville, Carroll. But in 2009, I believe, 2010, somewhere around there, the federal government decided that our poverty level wasn't high enough, and we went from receiving $30,000 a year to nothing. And then we can apply through that same branch for state set-aside funds, and we get about $5,000 a year now. So when you're splitting that amongst seven food pantries, it doesn't go very far. And that's a huge need in the community. Transportation is a major barrier to people obtaining or maintaining self-sufficiency, especially as the more affordable housing is coming out of Catskill, and you'll see it in Caro or on the mountaintop. The services are here in Catskill, employment, shopping, all of those things. You know, it's a huge issue. The county does have a transportation system. It has a bus, the Rip Van Winkle Express, but right now it goes one day a week to a different part of the county. So it's not anything you could really sustain employment on. In 2000 or so, Community Action, in partnership with the local DSS, we had four vans that provided transportation to and from employment. And That's our Partners Catch a Ride program. And probably 5 or 6 years into the program, the funding was reduced, and we were reduced to 2 vans instead of the 4. And then the funding was cut again, and right now we have 1 van that goes, it's 1 route, but we're everywhere. We go from Cairo to Coxsackie to Hudson. We provide about 20 people at a time transportation through this 1 van, and that program is at risk now. We applied for new funding. The Department of State had a discretionary grant application out that supported workforce activities. That grant was supposed to start in January, and they haven't even made the announcements yet. So one of our board members was able to obtain a donation from a donor that kept us running October, November, December, and now we're allocating dollars to keep it running through the end of January, just waiting for that announcement. If we're funded, we can run the program at least another year, and if not, we have to end that, and 20 people will be out transportation that they need to work.
Where are the problems coming in? Is it just a form of that the discussion's just wrong in on a political level, or are people just not getting it?
I think to some point people don't get it. I think there's just not enough dollars to go around, and I think that you know, everyone's experiencing budget cuts. I know DSS, if you talk to any of the county agencies, they've had layoffs or retirements, and they're not allowed to fill those positions. We've lost funding, we've lost positions, and we don't fill them. And funding has been cut. I mean, transportation in a community like ours, if you don't have reliable transportation, you don't stand a chance. And for those types of funding pools to go away, I don't understand. Food. How do you take away from a food pantry? I mean, in a very rural community with a significant poverty level, how do you say, okay, you don't warrant grant dollars for that anymore? We rely very heavily on you know, the generosity of the community, and that's part of where we opened the thrift store as well, to try to generate income to come back into program to fill in the gaps. The funding just from the federal and the state level isn't what it used to be. The money isn't there. We had ARRA, the Obama money, or the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act money. That was great. Our budget, our annual budget, almost doubled. Our weatherization tripled. And there were great programs, and then that money went away, and we're left kind of behind where we were in the first place. But I remember we used to get grant announcements all the time, and they're just not coming. The money isn't there. The existing funding sources every year, it's a little bit more of a reduction. There's just not enough to go around. So, you know, I did a radio show when this radio station first opened.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was a Thursday morning program over in Hudson, and
yeah,
I did
with
it
with Christina Malisoff. And
yes, because I did it with Kyra Pospisil, the commissioner. And what Kyra said, she said at the time that was just on the brink of this whole, all the funding cuts, and she said it's going to have to go back to the old days where neighbors took care of neighbors. And I was like, you know, there's a way that we can do this, because I think people want to help, but not everybody can write out a check. Mm-hmm. So the thrift store is doing great. People donate unwanted items, and it's really interesting to see what a society of excess we are, the things people donate. Phenomenal things with tags on, things really of value. And if we can turn that into something for the community, I know there are other thrift stores, you know, that have popped up since we opened as well, but we truly, the name says it all, pay it forward. If you're donating to the thrift store, if you're purchasing something in this thrift store, you're really helping somebody else right here in Greene County.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people come in, we've had people affected by fire. We have homeless people moving out of motels into permanent housing, and we're able to give them linens, housewares, clothing.
Are we near a point where another kind of war on poverty of some sort is necessary? Where
I think so. It's,
you know, and is that the fault of a kind of a loss of will or chipping away at a?
I just don't think people are aware. I mean, truly, I've had conversations again with people, and they don't understand. You know, again, people hear welfare or services or see money going to services, and you know, people will only donate if it's to a working family, or again, you know, people need to be drug tested if they're going to get social services. And there are so many reasons somebody can't be working. They could, you know, a recent divorce, they could be fleeing from a domestic violence situation, there could be a mental illness in the family that prevents them from working, there could be a cancer diagnosis or some other serious illness. Businesses come and go. A business can close down and people are lost, you know.
There seems to be some, like, a need to find where the fault line is that has created a problem in somebody's life. And that feels, has gotten more pronounced in recent years, it feels like.
Yeah, and I think that social services, I know, you know, there was the... I think we need to, like, wean people off of services. I think there has to be more support. I would love at some point to go to sliding scale so that if a person is working and making effort, that they don't lose those supports. Give them some time to catch up and to maybe put a little bit away and then gradually back off, because we see it time and time again, you know, people struggle so hard and they do want to work. I mean, we can see it in the year since we've opened the store with, like I said, the CWEP volunteers that we have. They come in, they do a great job, they show up, they're not getting paid, and they work, and it's not fun. I mean, we receive so many donations, and a lot of what they're doing is sorting the donations and tagging them and maintenance in the store, and they come in and they're wonderful, and then they get a job, and then here they lost the job. A lot of employers, if you're not a skilled worker, if your child is sick and you have to stay home with your child, you may not have sick time. That could cause you to lose your job. If you don't have transportation, even if you rely on us for transportation, we don't run on snow days. If the schools are closed, we don't run. It's a liability. And if people can't get to work, that could be an issue. Mm.
How do you see the employment in Greene County at this point? Do you see it kind of having eroded in recent years? Is there any chance for it to come back, or do you see any, like, anything on the horizon?
I think for a lot of the people that we work with, I think if we had resources to retrain people and to send them to school for different certifications, it would be really helpful, because for unskilled work, there's really not much other than hospitality or retail. You know, those are a lot of the jobs. If you have limited skills, there's really not a lot here. And even transportation being an issue right now, ski season, you have two mountains that employ upwards of 1,000 people each. But if you don't have a ride up and down the mountain, again, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I just really think giving people the tools they need, the people that we're serving.
Is there any discussion on a county level or on a... you know, I just noticed a lot of, I run newspapers down in Ulster, and there's a lot of state funding just was announced in the last couple of days for rail trails and all sorts of little projects and nothing coming to Greene. A lot came to Dutchess, a lot is going over to Columbia. Is there kind of a lack of momentum here?
Well, wasn't there, some money did come into Greene, that announcement. Was that the economic development money?
Yeah, is there stuff coming
I believe money did come to Greene as well. Okay. I don't know exactly, but, well, you know who's a really great resource right now is Jeff at the Great Northern Catskill Chamber of Commerce. He's the new director there. Mm-hmm. And he understands that everybody needs to be doing well in the community for business to do well. And he's been very supportive of nonprofits in the community and supporting services. But, I mean, it's great. It would be win-win if we could bring more businesses in, absolutely, and train people for those positions. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, some people, for whatever reason, there's like a pretty significant homeless population in Greene County. You don't see them on the streets, but they are in hotels paid for by DSS. We also have other people that are sanctioned for whatever reason, or they're doubled up in people's houses, so they don't technically qualify as homeless, although they don't have their own home. But for whatever reason, you see youth coming through that just have never had the supports and don't have the skills either. And I think that's a need, and that's something we'd like to look at, is really offering more youth programming. Mm-hmm. just to help people prepare.
And how did you get into this work and end up here?
It's a long story. I started out in human services right out of high school. I had a two-year degree from an associate's in human services from Hudson Valley, and I worked at a group home up in Troy for a while, and then about a year later, my friend says, oh, let's move to the city and finish school. I'm like, okay, so we went down there. I fell into accounting. I switched majors twice, and then I fell into accounting for over 20 years. I started here as a fiscal director, and it kind of came full circle back into program when there was an opening here. The board appointed me as executive director, and it's such a beautiful area that we live in, and there is opportunity for business, there's opportunity for tourism, and we just have to not forget, you know, the people in the population that are struggling. We have to incorporate them into that as well, though.
Does it help with a kind of a, to look at the small picture, community by community, county by county, or is there a sense where a regional outlook could help as well?
A regional outlook, absolutely. We have a state association, NISCA, and they had a, there was an executive director's retreat a couple of months ago, and there will be, on this in New York State, Poverty Tour 2014, and what the state association will be doing is going to different communities, doing poverty simulations, doing panel discussions, and really trying to get everyone to look at the needs in each community. They might differ, but then there are certain underlying consistencies, and even on the national level, if you just look at where the monies are going and what programs are being cut on the national level, we seem to be forgetting about the people from where we sit.
Does it shift? Does it become more exacerbated seasonally, like at this time of year? You know, as winter comes in.
We see it all throughout the year. Summer's really tough for people with school-age children. That's two meals a day that are provided in the schools that the family has to provide for in the summer. So it's pretty consistent. Of course, now we're busy with our Christmas program. Every child deserves Christmas, every child. To us, it's about hope. It's not just frivolous gifts. It's, you know, the kids have the same beliefs. And even for the older teenage, you know, the teenagers in the household, to know that somebody cares enough to go out of the way for them, that they matter, I think that's really important. But as far as the basic needs, they exist, I mean, throughout the year. Like I said, there's opportunities in the summer. You have all your golf courses and your summer resorts. In the winter, you have the ski resorts. But again, you're relying on transportation and so many other factors.
Is there any push from the county or the state or anybody, you know, really looking at public transportation?
Greene County was working with Columbia County 2 years ago, 3 years ago. They actually had a consultant come in and study the possibility of coordinating efforts, collaborating, because we operate a van for low-income people. Our eligibility is low-income. We have Ulster Green ARC, who provides to special needs. We have the Department for Aging providing to our seniors. We have the county's public transportation bus. We have other service providers. DSS provides transportation, medical transportation. And to me, and it would take what I've learned in trainings over the past, is that if communities commit to having a mobility manager, one person to look at pooling these resources, we could do it better. I think we can do it better. That's not the result, I don't believe, with a consultant. I don't know. I believe it has to be done. I don't think we have the resources, and I think that's another problem. Who has the resources to devote basically a full-time person to getting this off the ground? And I think that might be part of the problem, is that everybody is just stretched so thin right now. But at the same time, we've got to do something. The stronger the community is as a whole, it's going to benefit everybody. It's going to benefit the art community. It's going to benefit business. It's going to benefit our program recipients. So I'm hoping that conversation, something will come of that. But there's an opportunity there for grant funding.
And how's 2014 looking to you? Is it looking more hopeful? Is it looking as challenging? Is it always just a challenge looking off?
Lately it is, yeah. It is. It's a challenge. We're very fortunate. I mean, a lot of our program has remained steady, but we have experienced reductions. And the state agencies, you know, since ARRA, I think the state agencies, and rightfully so, there's a lot more accountability and there needs to be. But even the state offices, they're strapped as well. They've had layoffs and have not filled positions. And if you talk to any of our state monitoring agencies, they're experiencing the same thing, a lot more work and less people to do it.
Well, good luck.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
This is Paul Smart, and this has been The Work Show, January edition. Music this time came from the great Roy Orbison doing I'm Working for the Man, the Everly Brothers, including the late wonderful Phil Everly, doing Hard, Hard Year, and finally, the late Rick Danko of Woodstock, doing the wonderful song from his last recording, Times Like These. Until next month, keep on working.
Ooh, ooh, baby, baby, just hold on. And how can you refuse? Baby, baby, just you and me. What have we got to need each other more. Everyone agrees that things are going to be harder than before. People like to say everyone likes to cry a little more every day. Like that, given a choice, only a fool would stay. Ooh, ooh.